This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:05, and it's time for another episode of Pop It Parliament. Although, first things first, looking out the window at the weather, drive safe, everyone, if you're on the roads, because it looks like it's going to get crazy. And in the meantime, of course, we've got Tasha in the studio to give us updates from today's Day One Rakyat. What happened today?
Well, the first thing I want to talk about is to do with the Ministry of Housing and Local Government's efforts to crack down on the illegal plastic recycling factories that have cropped up around the country. Minister of Housing and Local Government Zureida Kamarudin informed Dewan Rakyat that in 2 years' time, every state will be getting its very own centralised waste park. And what that means is that they're going to be gathering all the plastic recycling factories in the state and relocating them to one big designated area.
We're going to have a centralised waste park where all the recycling kilang factories will be put in one area so that it's easier for us to monitor and to manage them. So after that 2 years, anything outside the waste park will be considered as illegal. And it will be easier for the PBT or the local government or the state to take action and close them down. So they got no reason. They have to apply and come to move their location to the designated area that has been assigned by the respective states. Now the states are very active in terms of recycling plastics and all those are Selangor, Penang, Kedah, Perak and Johor. So this is my concentration. So I already spoke to the MB to start look out, identifying a land where they can designate the place for waste park, and therefore everything that is concerning recycling or whatever should be stationed there.
And that's not all. In addition to these waste parks, each state will also be getting its own waste-to-energy plant, which is, you know, it's in the name. It's essentially a facility that will process the garbage that accumulates in the landfill and sort of convert it into energy.
Kita akan target menyasarkan untuk membina sekurang-kurangnya satu loji WTE for each state. Yeah? Nevertheless, there are some states which is bigger in area would need more than one, according to the logistics. So at the moment, KPKT is assessing the current landfill sites. Yang mana our first priority, landfill site yang still have land available, at least about 20 acres. So anything that is between 10 to 20 acres can fit WTE plant. That's number one. So number two, sekiranya landfill yang ada ni tidak ada kawasan yang boleh kita gunakan, kita akan look for land from the state government to give us the land. But it has to be strategic according to the logistics and the needs where it will cater for the whole state or the areas that are designated for that WTE.
So this sounds promising. When will the states be adopting this technology?
They're going to take 2 years to identify which landfills are big enough to be converted into a WTE plant. But the minister did say that she hopes that at least one or two will be properly completed and built in 2 years' time.
I know that this isn't exactly, well, it's not directly related at this point because it's such an early stage. But I'm wondering if this is going to affect something like property prices. If you're near a WTE plant, if you're near one of these waste facilities, because right now that's what we're seeing, right? We're seeing people who are living near these illegal recycling plants basically saying that their quality of life is being affected. And I'm sure with the government being involved that what we're going to see is quite different from the plants that we're talking about and the plants that we're covering. But nevertheless, there is a little bit of stigma attached to this. So I'm just curious whether that will affect how people feel. So it's, I mean, not exactly a new thing. It's a pretty good initiative to counter the extremely unsustainable method of just kind of dumping everything in landfills. But there is, like I said, that question, right, of how bad a plant like this could be for the environment.
Yeah, because you still need to use an incinerator to burn all of that waste before turning it into energy. So it would be interesting to see, one, like you said, how they will be, where they will be placing these facilities and what sort of like technology they'll be using to make sure that the pollutants that it produces is not going to be that
that problematic. Yeah.
All right. And what else happened in Parliament today?
We've got a dengue update. Deputy Prime Minister Datuk Sri Dr. Wan Azizah reported that there's been an increase of dengue cases in the country.
Kalau kita melihat January hingga March, ada 36,285 kes dilaporkan berbanding dengan tahun sudah, iaitu 14,734, itu peningkatan yang mendadak 146% dengue. Dan kematian 59 kematian dilaporkan berbanding dengan 32 kematian dulu, dan peningkatan 84.4%. So ini apa yang kita melihat bahawa satu yang menjadi masalah, dan kita mahu tangani masalah ini dengan secepat mungkin, dan kita ada beberapa kaedah untuk menangani masalah ini.
So the DPM shared two measures that they're going to undertake to control the spread of dengue. The first is to introduce a whole battalion of these genetically modified Aedes mosquitoes out into the world.
Jawatan Kuasa Peringkat Kebangsaan Menangani Dengue hari ini memutuskan melaksanakan operasi melepaskan nyamuk yang bernama yang berwolbachia. Yeah. Dia dalam diri dia tu ada bakteria. Jadi ini adalah insect punya bakteria. Okey. Dia telah diadakan di 10 lokaliti mulai Julai 2019 untuk memperkukuhkan kawalan dengue.
Okay, so I know the DPM said it twice, but what was that, the name of the mosquito again?
Wolbachia.
Right.
And how it works is that, you know, scientists, they take this Wolbachia, which is actually a safe natural bacteria that you can find in up to 60% of the insect species. And then they take that bacteria and inject it into dengue mosquito eggs, which will essentially prevent the dengue virus from growing.
So you inject the Wolbachia into the eggs of the Aedes aegypti, and the mosquito that developed from that is not infected, and that mosquito is dengue-free. It does not have the virus for dengue to pass on to a human patient. So that means effectively you are killing the dengue virus through the vector, which is Aedes aegypti. Right, bro?
Yes.
Right.
That little confirmation at the end was very cute.
The goal is to get these Wolbachia-infested mosquitoes to mate and pass that good bacteria on to future generations. If all of that works, then larger numbers, of course, of wild mosquitoes will eventually carry Wolbachia, and then, you know, it will mean that they'll be unable to transmit dengue.
And I have two questions, right? Is this a new innovation, and how did they prove that it's an effective method?
So the technology actually comes from Australia, and we did a pilot project back in 2017. They released 4 million of these infected Aedes mosquitoes in five locations in Shah Alam and Keramat. The pilot program showed actually pretty good results, a decrease of 60 to 70% of dengue cases in the area.
Wow.
So, yeah, it looks like it's pretty effective. But then Wan Aziza did say that the success of it was also quite dependent on the community and their willingness to embrace the mozzies.
Right. So let us know whether you're going to embrace these Wolbachia-infected mozzies. You know, would you welcome them into your neighborhood knowing that you could have that decrease of 60% to 70% of dengue cases? I'm thinking whether people will then think twice about smacking their arm. When,
for sure.
Yeah, right? But at the same time, it's like, how are you supposed to know?
You're just going to have to deal with the itchiness and hope for the best, I suppose.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's a bit of a downer. But let us know, would you welcome Wolbachia-infected mosquitoes in your neighborhood as a means of reducing dengue? 7733 2900 is the number to call if you want to weigh in. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Yep, so they'll also be releasing these guys out into the wild in July once they've identified more hotspots, and, you know, once they've done enough community engagement to tell people, look, don't do any fogging because you're going to kill these guys the minute they get out.
So it's two measures that she highlighted. What's the other one?
Well, the other one she spoke kind of quite briefly about. She said that they want to use AI as a tool to analyze weather patterns like humidity, wind change and rainfall so that they can anticipate dengue outbreaks rather than reacting only after it happens. She ended her PC by dropping some, well, for me anyway, there were interesting facts about Aedes mosquitoes. So here you go.
Nyamuk Aedes juga adalah sangat efficient kerana boleh memindahkan virus dengue kepada telurnya sehingga 5 generasi. Kita harta benda pun tak boleh tak kadang-kadang bagi kepada satu generasi. Ini 5 generasi nyamuk ni boleh bagi dia punya virus dengue. Di samping itu, nyamuk Aedes adalah lebih aktif menggigit dan membiak semasa cuaca panas. Serta telurnya boleh bertahan 9 minggu pula. 9 bulan. Actually 6 bulan hingga 9 bulan tanpa air. So they are very resilient. So these are things that we have to fight back.
That was Deputy Prime Minister Dato Sri Dr. Wan Azizah talking about how we're going to try and combat dengue during this particular season. And Taj, I feel like, you know, it really, we can't call this a Popit Popit Parliament segment unless there's low-key or high-key mudslinging that happens between the ministers or the MPs. Did any of that happen today?
There always is a little bit of low-key.
They never let us down. Yeah.
Sometimes I think it's in the questions that we ask. But anyway, the former Defence Minister Hisham Wudin Hussein was asked to comment on Tun Daim's comments that one of Pakatan's failures have been their inability to communicate their policies clearly. So Hisham Wudin says that poor communication wasn't actually their only problem. According to him, the other issue was their weak policies.
They have to give some certainty, give some credibility. They have to make their positions very clear. For example, in MINDEF, a lot of things that have been announced are just repackaged policies that we already had. And that took 10 months. So there's nothing new for the military and for Lima, for example. What was actually signed? What was the future for the industry? Nothing new that I saw after 10 months, 11 months. It's time for them to have a very clear policy moving forward for the country.
He also said that the internal squabbling that's happening within the coalition, the Pakatan coalition, had to be resolved. And he also sort of strangely used this to pledge his support to Tun.
I was under Dr. Mahathir for 20 years. Saya tengok tak ada masalah pun. If you have people within your own coalition calling you a dictator, you never got that when he was there before. So it's not about Mahathir being different. I think the landscape has different. So I'm giving Tun Mahathir confidence that as Prime Minister, until the next general election, if there's anybody who tries to make a move against him, for the sake of stability of the country, the sake of the stability of the economy, me and our MPs are quite clear. We want our Prime Minister to carry on and do the job for the sake of all Malaysians. Doesn't matter which party they are from.
So I hear that PAC Deputy Chairman Wong Kar Wah has confirmed that Hisham Wudin will be summoned as part of the PAC investigation into the MINDEF land swap deals. The case, I believe, involves 16 land swap deals involving 1,183 hectares of land owned by the ministry, valued at 4.7 billion ringgit. Did he have anything to say about this?
He did. He said he's all for it. But he also says that the PAC shouldn't be selective about their investigations.
Very good. But they have to be fair. Lah. You have got to investigate the land swap way until from the beginning. And that was during the time that Tun Mahathir was Prime Minister also.
So do it.
I got nothing to hide. But do it. Tapi don't be selective in your investigations.
All right. That was former Defence Minister Hisham Wudin Hussein weighing in on any number of things, really. Tasha, thank you so much for those updates. And let us know what you feel about potentially each state having its own centralized waste park and waste-to-energy plants. Would you welcome something like that? Do you think it's going to help the recycling situation that we find ourselves in? Let us know. You know, if you see an Aedes mosquito landing on your arm, are you going to hesitate because perhaps it has Wolbachia? Let us know. Call 7733-2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.